Soaring gold prices and a more favourable government stance appear to be driving up interest in New Zealand's gold mining industry. Minister for Resources Shane Jones says the government wants to unlock mining opportunities in the regions and will next week introduce legislation to, quote, cut through the red tape, unquote. Legislation to be introduced on March 8th will speed up the process for resource consent approvals, including for mining in the regions. Strattera, the body representing the mining industry in New Zealand, says it has several overseas investors eyeing up the market ahead of any potential changes. There's already movement in the industry, which employs around 7,000 people, focused in particular around lucrative gold deposits in Coromandel, Otago and the West Coast. Last month, the Australian company Santana Minerals claimed swathes of high-grade gold could rest beneath a patch of remote farmland near central Otago's Dunstan Ranges. On the West Coast, the Australian-owned Federation Mining signed an agreement with Oceana Gold for the future development of Snowy River, formerly known as Blackwater Mine. Gary Taylor is the chief executive of the Environmental Defence Society. He says he saw a similar boost of activity in the 1980s, but believes fast-tracking legislation is not wise. Kia ora, Gary. Welcome.
Good morning.
With us first is Josie
Vidal.
We were debating whether you were Gore Vidal or a Vidal.
Well, either or.
Josie Vidal is Chief Executive of Strattera, and she is in the Wellington studio. Josie, give us an idea of where in the country mining activity is happening currently. We touched on a few in the introduction, but where else is there activity?
Well, it is predominantly those areas you've talked about, and then there's some in the Waikato as well. But the West Coast, Otago, Coromandel are the big mining areas, and that's where there's interest and activity.
We hear the words could and potentially. What evidence is there of sizeable gold deposits as yet unexplored?
Well, we don't know what's unexplored, but we certainly know that people... So there's a process to mining. You prospect and go, maybe there's something here. Then you explore to see if there is a viable deposit, and then you mine. So it's quite a long process, and there's very many steps and checks and balances along the way. So there's quite a lot of exploration, which is like the Santana Federation have done that exploration, and they're ready to mine. They're getting down to where their gold is. It's an underground mine. So there's various stages, and then we have the established mines who are mining gold, and it's a big export earner for
and
us.
And the Dunstan Ranges example of what could lie there, what stage are they at in terms
so
of
they're the exploration?
They're exploring currently.
Yeah, and they've
so
got
they
a plan
seeing?
To mine.
Yeah, what are they seeing well, that indicates there could be a lot of gold there?
Well, they've, you know, that so they drill holes and pull out all the earth and work out
take
what's
core
there.
Samples, kind of.
Yeah, so there's a lot goes into it because mining is very, very expensive. So you've got to have a return on the investment and then some, right? And so you have to be sure that there's enough to cover the cost of getting in and then a return, a profit.
All right.
So, yeah.
What are you hearing from potential overseas investors at the moment?
Well, that's where, you know, the fascinating turn of events has been. The policy settings of the previous government made international markets quite nervous.
What were they specifically that did that?
The sort of talk about no mining on conservation land, the putting into policy statements sunset time for coal when there's actually still a need for coal. Just a negativity that wasn't helpful for the investment
market. What
about
gold? I mean, coal. Obviously, with coal, the issue is the climate emissions and climate commitments. But with gold, what was the turnoff?
Just that, well, gold is also mined on conservation land.
I see, so, the conservation land argument.
Yeah,
okay.
and it was just the previous government took the imperative to promote New Zealand's minerals out of the Crown Minerals Act. You know, there was definitely a turn away of, we don't need this.
So you couldn't go looking for overseas investment? You
the overseas investment found the market not very attractive. The
right.
change of government and this change of attitude has made it more attractive, plus the price of gold.
7,000 jobs, correct?
Yeah.
That's a lot of jobs,
yeah.
Especially in regions. What if any, are the other arguments for benefits to the economy?
Right. Well, there are many. So the workers in mining are highly paid and highly productive. So you're in a region where sometimes there's a tough economy.
So there's flow-on effects for local businesses,
absolutely.
Right? Local housing markets, etc.
But also the mining companies live in those communities and their workers are in those communities. So they make significant contributions to the communities. You know, I've just been on the West Coast this week and, you know, millions of dollars a year go into the community to help with school projects, environmental projects, setting up the tourist things that illustrate mining. And so there's a big impact through a small community.
However, profits head overseas.
Well, they pay taxes and royalties to the crown. And
what percentage of the royalties typically?
So the royalties, so mining's not a huge industry in New Zealand, so the royalties on gold in the, you know, the last financial year that there's a record of was $6.61 million.
Okay.
And the economic contribution to GDP of mining is $2.46 billion.
So if they didn't like the previous government's policies, what is it that they are holding out to hear from the new government? What do they want? What do they expect from it?
So I talk to these people a lot. So the first thing they wanted to hear was the Prime Minister of New Zealand saying New Zealand's open for business, which he has said. And the second thing they wanted to hear was the Minister for Resources saying we're open for business and for him to maybe go and talk to some of them.
Is it a bit more than that? Fast-tracking consent, for example?
Yeah, well, that's a good indicator of the policy direction. So we're supportive of the fast-track bill. I know it makes people nervous when things happen quickly, but fast...
Well, it makes them nervous when they don't have a chance to...
There has been a chance.
To test. What's the process?
So we were notified about this fast-track bill. There's been a consultation session with the Ministry for the Environment, who are writing the bill. There will be a select committee process.
I don't mean about the bill. What makes people nervous about fast-track consenting is that they don't have an opportunity, a proper opportunity, to raise legitimate objections. Will they have?
Well, it's sort of unfortunately swung into a direction where all they do is raise problems and there's no focus on the solutions. You know, it's 2024, we have great science, we have great engineers, we can solve problems. We can solve environmental problems. And there's a lot of misconceptions about mining. They mine and they put the land back to how it was before, if not better. And I have been and seen and touched. I've just been to Globe Progress, which is a 10-year rehab closure. 1 million plants planted. Beautiful tracks through this park.
Is that?
So that's on the west coast of the South Island near Reefton.
Has there been a record in the past where the industry perhaps has not helped its reputation in terms of how it's left mines?
So the Crown owned some mines that they didn't leave in a great state. But we represent responsible miners. There's very, and this is something that's a real value of New Zealand mining. We have high employment standards. We have high health and safety. And we have really strict environmental standards.
Okay. Stay with us, Josie. Let's bring in Gary Taylor, Chairman and Chief Executive of the Environment Defence Society. As I said earlier, he says he saw a similar boost of this activity in the 1980s, but says fast-tracking legislation is never a good idea. Gary, what do you make of the increasing levels of interest being reported at the moment?
Well, I think, you know, there is a place for mining, obviously, in a modern economy. The question is, where and what is it? Is it underground? Is it open cast? What are the environmental effects? Has there been proper engagement with communities, with iwi? Has the company taken the time to build a social licence? You know, all of that is really important. And I must say, sitting here listening to Josie, I do feel as if I've woken up in the 1980s because I've heard all this before. You know, a lot of PR spin about the benefits of mining and a desire to kind of short-circuit environmental assessment. Now, I have no problem with mining if we go through a proper process. Mines are big, complex, challenging enterprises, and fast-tracking them is not the way to go. We need careful, methodical assessment of them. And interestingly enough, Santana, who've got this big 250 square kilometre prospect at Bendigo, have been saying exactly what I just said then. They want to take time, but and you know, build community support for what they're doing, do all the pre-mining assessments properly and thoroughly, get the science in place, marshal the arguments so that they're relying on, you know, good data, not just PR spin.
Well, why can't they still do that?
Well, they can still do that. They can do that through the normal process,
right.
And that's what they were planning to do. They have said, if you look at their website, they have said that they're planning to do all this work and complete it by the end of the year. Now, that's not fast track. That's a reasonable track, and that's the way that I'd encourage the mining sector to go. You know, this is an industry